Vancouver Queer Film Festival presents multidisciplinary performance collective Space Melt. Influenced by some of art's queerest iconoclasts, Space Melt will bring you a one-time only, magical, musical, dance, and visual art experience against the backdrop of the setting sun. This Wednesday, August 17th at Telus Gardens. Doors at 9:15, show at 9:40. $12 for general admission, $8 for students, seniors, and underemployed patrons.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The University Neighborhoods Association will be hosting its 10th annual Barn Raising Festival at the Old Barn Community Center on August 20th. We are inviting everyone to the celebration from 1 to 4 p.m. and you don't want to miss out on the best 10th birthday party of the year. All the Barn's friends will be in attendance, so come say hi to the UBC Farm, the Bike Kitchen, Triumph House, and many more partners. The celebration this year will feature a free barbecue, live musical performances, free demo classes, tons of activities, and a live broadcast by CITR.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. This is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus in Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Suzy Lula. She is a visionary leader who is transforming the way people think about motherhood. She's a much sought-after spiritual counselor, teacher, and inspirational speaker. She combines her innovative teaching over her 18 years in private practice with her training in spiritual psychology, showing you how to reconnect with your untapped spiritual power and use it to mother your children in a way that really empowers and enriches your life and your connection with your children. Suzy is a lifeline to mothers everywhere, and she was actually personally recommended to me by our mutual friend, Dr. Shefali, who is the author of The Conscious Parent and the new book, The Awakened Family. And Suzy also is an expert in the field of human transformation, as well as an award-winning pianist. And she's based at the Agape International Spiritual Center with Michael Bernard Beckwith. Thank you so much for being with us today, Susie.
Thank you so much for having me, Maria. I'm so happy to be here. I know it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful offering to many, many individuals.
I'm so excited. Okay, so we just recently have started beginning the show with a little mini meditation or an intention setting. And today, Susie is going to lead us through that.
Lovely. So let's all just gently close our eyes. And just take a nice deep breath in and allow your breath to become deeper and slower. And then just become aware of your heart and invite your mind to rest in your heart. Maybe you see your heart as a big, fluffy pillow or cloud, something soft where your mind, just for these next few moments, can rest. And so it is from this place of pure peace that I recognize that we are each and all connected. We're all connected in a loving presence. And that loving presence is connecting us, surrounding us, and most of all, filling us from the inside out and from the outside in, inviting us all to rest. And so as we just become more relaxed, let us connect with our deep intention, our inner wisdom and intuition. Just allow that intention to come forward for this time together. Perhaps there's something in particular that you are seeking during this time. And just allow that to come forward. I'm absolutely certain that each one of us receives exactly what it is that we are to get from this time together. I'm deeply grateful, and so be it. And then whenever you're ready, just gently open your eyes.
Oh, wow. You've definitely done this before. That was fantastic.
Not my first rodeo.
I also forgot to mention that you just fairly recently were at the first Evolve, the Conscious Way Summit in Los Angeles, and you were alongside Dr. Shefali for that. And you also were on the Today Show with Michael Bernard Beckwith, talking about spirituality in the family, which is so exciting. So I'm curious, your bio mentions that you've been in practice for 18 years. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into where you are today?
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, I feel like I've been a spiritual seeker all my life. I can remember being a little girl and feeling my connection with something greater than myself. And in the midst of that, though, being raised, as many are, in quite a dysfunctional family. So my mom was, let's just say, unhappy. And my dad was the kindest man I've ever met. My dad, in all of his life, I never heard my dad say an unkind thing to or about anyone. So he was a very, very kind, gentle spirit, wise spirit. And I think that my own being raised in this sort of dysfunctional family and simultaneously being a spiritual seeker, I think it was always prompting me, and I always had sort of an urging and a longing inside to find that place of peace and my potentiality, really, in the midst of what was going on around me. I learned to meditate when I was 16. And, you know, so I just think I've always been a seeker and always had that feeling inside of us that there is a potential inside of us. And I don't want to live out this life without, you know, reaching that potential.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What a position to be in, to learn how to meditate at 16. I only wish that, I mean, I've been doing this show for about 8 years now, and we've been talking, I hear every day about the benefits of meditation, but I've only really begun my own consistent meditation practice fairly recently. And the difference that it's making is just huge. But today, I also forgot to mention that Susie is the author of The Motherhood Evolution, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children. And talking about how your mother was very unhappy it's interesting to see that now you're able to turn the tables and help to raise the consciousness of mothers. So how, thank goodness you had a lovely and happy father, but how was that with an unhappy mother?
Precisely. And this is exactly, I think, what catapulted me into this research, because my own upbringing combined with all the mothers that I work with, you know, I work with mothers day in and day out, you know, 24/7. And what I found was really that my mother was not alone. I think that many, many mothers, they have children and just automatically begin to sacrifice their own life, begin to sacrifice their own dreams. And I'm certain that by putting me in front of her needs, she thought she was doing something for me. But the more unhappy she became, the more disconnected from herself she became. So she's depriving herself, thinking that she could raise me in a happy home. And I recognized from working with clients all day that mothers are indoctrinated through culture that says once we have a child, we are to put our own needs on the back burner and neglect our own selves and think that then we're going to end up with thriving children. And it just doesn't work that way. Moms end up exhausted and feeling disconnected and overwhelmed when really mothers have such a spiritual connection to their children. We have this untapped spiritual power within us, this connection. And so my mission is all about assisting mothers to stay connected to that spiritual power that is within them when raising their children.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, today, Susie is joining us for the first episode in a series all about compassion, forgiveness, radical acceptance, and personal responsibility, because I'm finding in my own journey that these are really some of the keys to wholeness and wellness and being able that radical responsibility for ourselves is one of the things that I think that prevents the giving away of too much, because you're talking about women being mothers and sacrificing for their children. But I think that so many of us, especially women, sacrifice in whatever it is that Absolutely. We're called to do. If it's our career, if it's in a relationship. I mean, how many women do you know, myself included, who give up everything in life and focus solely on the new boyfriend or the new job or whatever it is?
Absolutely. Becoming a mother is only an extension of that, what you're saying, because culture teaches us as little girls to give up of ourselves when that external job or project or boyfriend comes along. So yes, and I absolutely love of all the qualities that you're speaking of today, personal responsibility, forgiveness. I love that you really include the quality of compassion, because what I have found in working with women is, and working with anyone actually, men or women, is that compassion is one of the most undervalued, underutilized, and misunderstood qualities that we have. I think that most of us, at least the individuals I work with, when you really get still, do we really know what self-compassion feels like? Do we really know how to nurture ourselves and reconnect to ourselves using this quality of compassion? And cliche as it sounds, you know, the Dalai Lama says, kindness is my religion. And kindness, simple kindness and compassion and kindness towards ourselves, I have found anyway, very powerful, very potent, very underutilized. So I love that you are highlighting that quality specifically as well.
Well, and speaking of the Dalai Lama, he mentioned at the Peace Summit here in Vancouver a number of years ago that the Western woman will save the world. If we are going to save the world, it is going to be the Western woman. And I think that that self-compassion, when we have self-compassion, it's the space to have compassion for others. I'm just getting so excited talking about this. So tell me about your experience and the work that you do around self-compassion.
Excellent question. So I have found with mothers, women, anyone really, we are a culture that is very hard on ourselves. Would you not agree? We're hard on ourselves and we judge ourselves. And I can speak for myself. Often I'm judging myself and it's so much a part of my internalized voice that I don't even recognize that I'm being hard on myself. I don't even recognize it as a judgment because it's insidious. It's part of my internalized voice. But if I said to you, you know, Mary, oh my gosh, you know, we should have started 10 minutes earlier today, or if I used a tone of judgment towards you externally, it's easier to hear. It's easier to recognize. I wouldn't like it if someone treated me that way. And yet we treat ourselves with the level of judgment. So I think where compassion comes in, compassion is the medicine to judgment. Compassion is the antidote to judgment. And so this is why it's, and when you mention the Dalai Lama, the thing about all of this compassion, it's free. It doesn't cost a thing. When we have the awareness and we wake up to the moment that I recognize, oh, I'm judging myself. I'm being harsh on myself. Well, the medicine, the antidote then is to apply to myself this quality of self-compassion. And what I found is that we don't often recognize, well, what is that self-compassion? So I realize I'm judging myself. I realize I'm being hard on myself. But what is self-compassion? Well, I like to use this phrase, it's so understandable. Just that simple phrase, oh, Susie, it's so understandable you might have been anxious about X, Y, and Z. It's so understandable you might have been hard on yourself about X, Y, and Z. When we start a phrase with it's so understandable, it guides us into a softer way of being with ourselves. Judgment comes from our head, and we're seeking to move from our head to our heart. Compassion and this phrase, it's so understandable, is a very specific practical tool we can use to soften into our heart.
That's beautiful. I just wrote that down. I've got my little notes here. It's so understandable. One of the things that I've been working on lately is noticing the judgments that come up, and I notice them about other people or situations, you know, like, oh, I don't like her skirt, or what is she thinking trying to fit into that outfit, or whatever, right? Those things that come just automatically into, you know, or whatever, the running commentary in our minds. And when it's a negative, I notice it. And then the next thing, though, is I'm kind of in a position where I want to be conscious of that and let those judgments go and have compassion. But do you have any suggestions for having self-compassion towards myself when I'm judging others? Because it goes to noticing the judgment and then kind of judging myself for judging people, which is not going to help.
Exactly. I call them like you have a little knot in consciousness and then you judge yourself and now you have a knot on top of a knot in consciousness and now you have two to unravel. So yes, two things come to mind. One is back to this phrase. So let's say, you know, you're walking down the street and what was she thinking with that skirt? And then you say to yourself, oh, Marie, it's so understandable that you might be judging her skirt because you had a bad morning this morning. Or it's so understandable. It's not meant to condone your judgment. It's meant to soften the place inside of you. Because I have a saying, the places inside of us that we deem the least attractive, which would be judgment. So the place inside of you that you deem the least attractive is the place inside of you that needs your compassion the most. So the very place inside of you, ironically enough, paradoxically enough, the very place inside of you that even judged that person to begin with needs your compassion the most. So when I find myself judging someone else, and this is especially true with mothers and our children, when I find myself judging my son, the first thing that I do is in my mind's eye, I pretend that I'm holding up a mirror to myself. And with compassion, I say to myself, I would not be judging him if I wasn't already judging myself about something. You would not have judged this woman on the street, this hypothetical woman on the street with her skirt, if you yourself were not already holding a judgment about yourself, because a peaceful heart doesn't judge. So if in fact you're judging someone else and you say, oh, I wouldn't be judging this woman if I wasn't holding a judgment to about myself. And then I say, oh, what that judgment inside of me needs most is compassion. And then that kind of segues into your other quality about forgiveness.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm so glad Shefali recommended you. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
So, and I just wanted to say that the background where you're at, that's your office where you see clients.
Yes, it is. I'm just a very peaceful space full of compassion, because this quality of compassion we're practicing all day, day in and day out. So even I bet through a video screen, you can just feel these qualities that you're speaking of, compassion, forgiveness. These qualities are tangible and they're real. And most of all, they're palpable. And when you have a soft heart towards yourself and a compassionate and forgiving heart towards yourself, all those around you are going to be able to feel that.
So then it sounds like people who are compassionate are more likable.
Exactly. You think?
But I want to talk about the difference, though, because there is also, when it comes to us giving compassion and giving of ourselves and overgiving, it seems to be like the pendulum swings from one extreme to the other, where having compassion for someone else's bad day or choice that you might not prefer is not the same as sacrificing your own peace, wellness, safety in order to allow that.
Absolutely. And I think this is such a big misunderstanding we have in our culture, that somehow it's been translated to us that if I forgive, if I have compassion for, it means not only am I condoning the behavior, but that somehow I'm now involved with it, you know, enmeshed in it. And so this other quality, you're speaking of personal responsibility. You know, one of my doctrines around my own personal responsibility is to have my own personal boundaries. And I can have a boundary and compassion simultaneously. I can hold a boundary and not like someone's behavior and offer compassion simultaneously. But we don't have to enmesh with the other person or get involved or give ourselves away to that energy. Like you're speaking of that seesaw, either I'm completely giving myself away and I'm over there, or I just am not, you know, I have to disconnect completely. And we're looking for the way where we can stay connected and also hold our own personal space and boundary.
Susie, I'm curious. Oh, first of all, I haven't said this in a while. We are speaking with Susie Lula. She is the author of The Motherhood Evolution, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children. You can go to her website, SusieLula.com. And she also has meditation CDs. She has music, beautiful music available, and workshops and all the information that you need to find out about Susie. If you'd like her support or just to know more about her, you can go to her website, SusieLula.com. So I'm wondering if you have any, just off the top of your head, any examples of that balance between boundaries and compassion.
Many. let me see. I'm going to get a real one. Yeah. So this is a client I was speaking with earlier today, right? Her daughter was upset about not being invited to a birthday party. And the mother was having a lot of challenge with the mother of the daughter, right, that didn't get invited. So this happens all of the time, right? So the way that she was able, so first of all, what she wanted to do was to get in there and fix it for her daughter, right? And call this other mom. And, you know, she was all, she either was going to give herself totally away, or she was going to judge this other mother. And, you know, so she was on her own seesaw. When she was able to sit with her own feelings and emotions that came up around this situation, she recognized that inside of her own self, she felt left out. She didn't even particularly, you know this person very well, but she had that feeling, like I'm sure many of us have, of simply feeling left out. And then she felt for her daughter, my daughter's left out. So the way to stay off of the seesaw was to surround her own self with compassion, connect with her own compassion. For now, put this other woman and put her daughter on the back burner. She recognized she felt left out. So the first step is, whenever we have something externally with another, is first to apply this compassion to ourselves. So then she sat and she just had her eyes closed, that feeling of, oh, it's so understandable that I would feel left out. Many of us would feel left out in a social situation like that. So she then came to a place of peace within herself. When we come to a place of peace inside of ourselves, we are then able to go back to the outside situation. So good that she didn't call the other person or close her heart to the other person. First, she opened her own heart to herself in compassion. When she gets into her own neutrality inside, now she's connected to her own inner wisdom. Now she's connected to her own inner guidance. How is it that I now want to handle this situation with this other individual? By the time she worked through her own emotions in this particular situation, she recognized there's nothing to do. That's life. It happens. There's nothing to do except, you know, then join together with her daughter in compassion and say, oh, yeah, I can see that you would feel left out. And then it's a moment that moves on. Sometimes in life, we are called to call another individual, speak up for ourselves, have a boundary, not have a boundary. But the real important point is not to take any action until we're coming from a place of neutrality inside of ourselves. And that happens by slowing down and applying that compassion to our own selves first and foremost.
So not to respond out of reactivity, but to
exactly.
get centered. Though that can be challenging, in the therapy that I do, we talk about emotion mind, logical mind, wise mind, and sometimes it can be difficult to know whether you're in wise mind, because it feels like everything is logically making sense, so I must be in wise mind, but really there's all this stuff bubbling under the surface that we're not aware of. So do you have any tips or any signposts that might help us know the difference?
Yeah, brilliant question. That was brilliant. You know, there's a saying that one of the most powerful spiritual qualities is the quality of discernment. And I find that to be so true, right? Exactly what you're saying. Sometimes we think we're in neutrality even. We think we're in wisdom or, you know, what you're speaking of. But if what I find is, if something's still bubbling up inside of me, I haven't gotten there yet. So I think in our culture, we're also taught to react and respond so quickly. And I have found that slowing down the process and saying, you know, I might not know what to do about this until tomorrow, next week, even, you know, to be able to really sit with something over time will allow you to be reflective enough to see, oh, I was still reactive. Oh, that was still swirling around. Oh, that wasn't the wisdom that I thought it was, you know? And so slowing down, because when we are at peace, when we are at in neutrality, the thing that happens is we have no longer any attachments. And so we are fine. We are free. We are liberated. We are not attached to any kind of outcomes. So those can be questions we can also ask ourselves. Do I find myself still a little attached to what that mom might say back to me, or still a little attached to how they might respond or what I might say? Those are all indicators that, in fact, I have not found my emotional equanimity yet. You know, my book is really all about self-care. And this was something when our other mutual friend, David Ord, my wonderful editor, we were talking about, well, is this book written for mothers or women everywhere, right? Because we all have this same need for self-care and learning that caring for ourselves is not selfish. And so what you're speaking of, for me, I call it emotional self-care, where it might take me some time to get to my own emotional equanimity to then go back and, you know, handle the outer circumstance, however is called for.
So I'm wondering, there's a few thoughts I'm having about that, because the Motherhood Evolution, your book, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children, I'm wondering if this book, when you say, is it for all women, is this book also for women to mother themselves in the ways that they weren't mothered?
Exactly correct. Because I believe as women, we all hold that mother nurturing energy. And very few of us, what I have found, really received that in the way that felt sustainable and fulfilling to us. So my intent with the book is that any woman on this planet would be able to use the tools and the transformational skills that I provide in the book to mother ourselves. We are a planet just so in need of mothering ourselves. And when we do, and as we do, it will speak back to what you were speaking of earlier. We will lose the need to be all things to all people, and to neglect ourselves for that new boyfriend or that new project. You know, it will reconnect us with our authentic self and our original essence that I believe women everywhere are just, we're just hungry. We're thirsty. We're thirsty for our original selves, you know? So yes, long-winded yes to your question. May it serve all women to mother ourselves everywhere.
So beautiful. Susie, I'm also noticing, and I'm taking this feminine power course right now, and in that section that we're on right now, we're talking about connecting to the world around us. And one of the things that I notice about you and Shefali is that you are both women that are connected, and you're getting support from other people, other women. And I find so much of my life has been me having to go it all alone, because yes, nobody else, I just have this feeling of being alone in the world. And then when I do have connections with women, a lot of times, like, I want to have a nurturing mutual relationship. And then one of us, not always the other person, but somewhere there's this competition that comes in.
Yes.
And I noticed that you're different in that way. So how did you get to that point?
Thank you. Thank you. I have a saying that collaboration is the new competition. So let competition fall by the wayside and collaboration take over. So I'm your girl from now on. First of all, we have to find like-minded individuals. But I believe that in all seriousness, this goes back to what we were speaking of. You know, and this is why I'm so passionate, and I absolutely unequivocally know that self-care can transform a life, and self-care can transform our planet faster than anything else we can possibly imagine. Because what you're speaking of with competition, underneath all competition, underneath the feeling I have to do this all alone, you know, I'm not going to have support, underneath all of that is a paradigm of lack. There isn't enough to go around, or I'm not going to get enough support, or what I need is not going to be there, or just in some way, shape, or form, there's not enough. And underneath a belief that there's not enough is a belief that I'm not enough. And this is what happens as women, and I love that you're taking a feminine power course, because as women, we disconnect from ourselves. When we are taught those simple things, a teenage girl who's, you know, forgets about her 14-year-old self for the 15-year-old boy that asked her out, right? She's starting at a young age to disconnect from herself. And we are taught to disconnect from ourselves. And so there's nothing like self-care to reconnect us to our spirit. So first and foremost, I believe that every day we are to nourish our spirit. When women begin to value and understand that there is nothing more important on planet Earth, there is nothing more important in your life than taking the time each day to nourish your spirit, then what happens is you reconnect with that original spirit and you recognize, oh, I'm not what culture tells me. I am enough. I am more than enough. I am abundant. I am worthy. I am valuable. Because individuals who take care of themselves, sends a message to yourself, I matter. I'm important enough that you take care of me. And so we're reconnecting with a sense of worthiness and a sense of value that has been lost when we get disconnected from ourselves. And that's what really the book is all about. I have a vision of one of the questions in the book is, what if we viewed motherhood, and we could say, what if we viewed womanhood through the filter of abundance and worthiness and value rather than lack and disconnection and not enoughness? What if we shifted the filter that I'm looking through, and I'm going to shift this filter and look through abundance and worthiness? And there's no faster way to get there than by nourishing our spirit every day, taking care of ourselves in some way.
Mm. So I'm curious, Susie, whether it's from the book or your own personal practice, how do you recommend that we nourish our spirit? What do you do at the start of the day to nourish yourself?
Great question. The first thing I would want to say, two quick things. We often feel that there's not enough time in a day to take care of ourselves and not enough support, as you were saying, to take care of ourselves. So first I want to say it's free and it doesn't need to take as long as we think it's going to take, you know? So when someone is getting just started on a path, which I hope becomes a way of life of nourishing your spirit, I want to say less is more. Start with the simplest things that don't take a lot of time. You want to start to ask your spirit each morning. I just wake up first thing when I wake up. We can do it right now. Just wherever you are, everyone, just gently close your eyes and maybe place your hand on your heart just as a way of connecting with your own spirit, your own heart. And just ask your heart, what is it that would be so wonderful? What is it that you need right now to feel nourished? What is it that would truly nourish your spirit right now? Doesn't need to be anything large, just something small that would nourish your spirit. How has your spirit been calling you that perhaps you haven't been hearing, perhaps you've been ignoring? How is it that your spirit's calling you? And then just gently listen for a moment. And whenever you're ready, just gently open your eyes. So first, I'm just going to ask you, did anything happen to come for you?
Yeah, so this is what happened. I felt like I really need to be outside. Mm-hmm. And then the next thought was about how I didn't have time. I didn't feel like I had time to go outside before we set up for this interview. So right away, there's the yes, but.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that so authentically. So this is exactly what happens to most of us, right? Because as I said, we have an underlying paradigm of lack. We think there's not enough, right? So in my book, I talk about this idea that if you pick up any wealth building, any financial book, even though the principles of financial wealth are very varying, every financial book will tell you if you want to build wealth, pay yourself first, right? So it's researched, it's proven that when we pay ourselves first, we always have money left over at the end of the month for food. But when we buy food and rent first and we think we're going to save at the end of the month, we never do. So it is the same with self-care. So you wake up, you feel, oh, I want to go outside. And then the next thought is, oh, I can't. I don't have enough time, correct? So just like in a wealth building book, we want to start to prove it out to ourselves. So next time, so I'm going to leave you with a challenge, right? So next time you have that feeling, or don't even wait till next time, say sometime before the end of today, don't even wait till tomorrow, sometime before the end of today, go outside. And go outside even carrying that belief, I'm going to go outside, it's not going to work, I'm going to be late for my next appointment, it's going to throw my whole day off. You know, you can't not have the thoughts you have, but go outside anyway. And what I promise you will happen is, even if you take only 3 minutes outside to breathe in the fresh air, 5 minutes outside, let's just say 3 minutes, that's what you have, 3 minutes, breathe in the fresh air. What will happen is, A, you will move outside of linear time, because when we are connected to what our spirit is really longing for, those 3 minutes will feel like an hour first and foremost, because you'll move outside of the finite time, correct? Secondly, the you that comes back to your next activity, being a meeting or making dinner, the you that comes back to that activity will be an expanded version of yourself. So you are now in abundance. You are now in a different paradigm coming to your same routine activities. And I promise you, it probably sounds maybe not possible to someone out there, but 3 minutes, whenever we take the time to answer the call of our spirit, then we move into an expanded consciousness. It will get an exponential expansion. So will you do that today? Will you find 3 minutes to go outside?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because it was really just the perception of not having enough time, because guess exactly what I was doing instead of being outside today?
Yeah, exactly what?
Answering emails, responding
correct
to other people on Facebook. I was putting other people's
exactly
needs and agendas before my own self-care. And then we get annoyed that all these people need. It's like, well, that's because we haven't given to ourselves yet.
Exactly correct. This is why, and I'll partner up with you on this, okay? So we'll do this for a week or so, but this is why I say to women, find a self-care partner. Find a partner where, even though we might both be at the same place, hard to not check those emails, but we have someone else to be accountable to who will say, you know what, I just know, go out in the fresh air and then answer your emails. And if you tell your girlfriend you're going to go outside first, chances are you will, you know, be true to yourself and do it. So find a partner, do it with someone. Self-care is so potent, so powerful, so undervalued. I don't see us valuing it yet, and it will change your life.
Thank you so much, Susie. Oh, I'm excited about that. And I also, you mentioned how to start out with the simplest thing. And I think that I'd really love to spend a little bit more time on that, because I feel, I think that this is true for a lot of people who are seeking personal development, spirituality, all of that. We're looking for the list of things that we should do to be what we think we need to be, what we're supposed to be.
Exactly.
And,
go on.
And one of the things that I'm noticing is that I have this list of things that I'm supposed to do in the morning. I read a little bit of like something inspirational, and then I journal, and then I meditate. And then yesterday and today, frankly, I just didn't have the energy for it. I didn't feel like it was, it just felt like drudgery. And so then rather than checking in on what I needed and doing that instead, I felt guilty that I wasn't doing this long list of stupid things that I told myself I had to do.
Yeah, my face hurts from smiling, because this is what we all as women end up feeling. You're just describing us all. We start out with these wonderful intentions, you know, and then soon they become seven more things on our to-do list. And it's like, oh, I can't even be bothered. I can't get through my own to-do list. Now all my meditation and my journaling and my inspirational writing and reading, it's on my to-do list. And so, you know, amen, first of all, for even voicing it, because I know that there are, you know, thousands of people listening right now that are going, exactly, that's how I felt this morning, you know. So you're speaking for many, 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 many individuals. So I love this about talking about the simple things. So the simplest thing is what we did, remembering to ask yourself, well, what in the world do you need this morning? Maybe it was a cup of tea instead of that, you know, spiritual reading time. Maybe another really simple thing that I have found is there is nothing like music to bring us from our head to our heart. So perhaps it was something as simple as, I need 10 more minutes sleep, but instead of just lying in bed feeling guilty for 10 more minutes, I'm going to play a really beautiful piece of music. And you can do the same if you are doing the dishes, or if you didn't have time, really didn't have time to go out that day, but you're making dinner anyway. I'm going to put on a beautiful piece of music, something that is consciously thought out. I'm just not turning on the radio. But if there are, and I happen to play the piano, and I think that solo piano is a really beautiful instrument to help us connect to our heart and our spirit because of the strings. So I would think the same of voice, cello, violin, all of these guitar, these stringed instruments are like a metaphor for our own voice, our own heart. And you can take something as simple as a piece of music, and it will change. What we're speaking of is the quality of our life. Right? You might have the same to-do list tomorrow as you do today, but if we can assist you to shift the quality of your life, the quality of those to-dos, which is the quality that you bring to them, then in fact, we have transformed the quality of your life. So something as simple as music.
Beautiful. Well, we again are speaking with Susie Lula. She's the author of The Motherhood Evolution, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children. And you can find her at SusieLula.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, I will post the link below. If you're listening on CITR or CosmicDimensions.com and PowerRadio.com or on the Co-Creator Network, then you will have to spell it out. S-U-Z-I-E-L-U-L-A.
No, just I. S-U-Z-I.
S-U-Z-I. Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote with
That's okay. That's okay.
S-U-Z-I.
There are many ways to spell Susie, as I have found.
S-U-Z-I-L-U-L-A.com. S-U-Z-I-L-U-L-A.com. You can find her book. You can find more information. And also beautiful piano music like she was talking about, as well as I saw one meditation CD, but I imagine you have more than that.
Many. Yeah, many. And there are many. That meditation is a guided meditation. So it's lovely because it has a 20-minute guided meditation and then 20-minute instrumental, where if you do want to journal, you can journal after the guided meditation. I know that sometimes when individuals are just starting a meditation practice, it helps to have something guided, so you don't have to muster it up from inside of you. But also on my website, there's many, many videos and guided meditations that you can just listen to anytime. So it's a resource to go back to often.
Beautiful. Oh, again, I am so grateful to Dr. Shefali for personally recommending you. I posted that I wanted to talk about forgiveness and compassion and personal responsibility, and Shefali was like, you've got to talk with Susie. So thank you to her. I'll have to send her a note and thank her. And
as do I. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, you were mentioning the talking about the intention behind these things. And I think that's the key, is if the practice of self-care is just our to-do list to check it off, to get it done, that is not really going to serve us in the same way that taking even just 2 minutes to check in and say, what do I need right now, instead of what do I have to get done?
Exactly correct. That's why I'm also seeking to change this definition of self-care, because we think of self-care as got to get the, you know, obligatory massage or a manicure or something to, you know, my haircut. And I'm speaking of something much deeper. I'm speaking of something that truly nourishes our spirit and shifts the quality of our, not maybe not even whole day, maybe it's going to shift the quality of my next interaction with someone, or the quality of my next meeting that I have with someone. So I'm speaking of something deeper, like nourishing our spirit, nourishing our heart, asking, you know, what is it that is calling to us? Because that is the thing, is that our heart and this still small voice, it is truly always speaking to us. And when we do take the time to ask, it does always answer us. Typically, we're just busy and we're in our head, and it speaks to us from a deeper place inside, and it whispers. And so when we learn to listen to the whispers and then attend to those whispers, we don't have to wait until, you know, something's really shaking at us. Mm-hmm. It's a quiet whisper to listen for.
Thank you so much, Susie. And I just want to express, I'm looking for the words, in this show, I'm blessed to speak with so many people who are on all different levels of this journey, all different stages. And it's always such a pleasure to speak with someone who is connected, because even though I was not feeling connected, judging myself for not feeling connected and all of that, mm-hmm. as soon as we started to connect, your connection inspires me and helps me to feel more connected. And I think I'd like to end on that, if it's good with you, is to talk about the importance, like you mentioned earlier in the hour, of how self-care is really what's going to change the world.
Yes. Self-care, I absolutely unequivocally am certain self-care will end all wars. I'm certain it will change the world because of exactly what you just said. I'm also speaking to when I feel disconnected, or let's say I have, you know, not acted kindly to my son, or, you know, I'm off my game, so to speak, and I've judged someone, you know. So self-care, and especially emotional self-care, and reconnecting inside of myself over and over and over again in a day does exactly what you're talking about. It creates a fountain. I always see my life as a fountain, and it starts a fountain or a spiral, both of them. It starts from inside of my own heart. If I reconnect to any places inside of myself that I might have orphaned out, so to speak, and I take ownership of these places in my own heart, then I become a fountain. I spiral out to all those whom I touch, you being one of them today. So it's beautiful, and I so appreciate what you're saying. Now there's two of us that feel this connection. And now you, because this is your mission and you're speaking to people all over this planet, as they join into this energy, now they become a beneficial presence wherever they are, because they're feeling, even if it's slightly more connected now, now they're a fountain and they're spiraling out this connected feeling. And this is literally, literally, practically speaking, how we change the world.
Yes, you just totally summed it up so beautifully. Suzi Lula, SUZILULA.com. She's the author of The Motherhood Evolution, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children. And I think how thriving people create more thriving people in the world.
Exactly.
And
thriving just, people touching thriving people.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're almost out of time, Suzi. So I'm just wondering, before we close the show and say goodbye, I'm wondering what you'd like to leave listeners and viewers with today.
Beautiful. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I think what I really would most love to leave everyone with is that this journey of self-care, being on a spiritual path, personal awakening, it's not meant for us to be perfect. And so when we fall, so to speak, the most important thing, I'm going to come full circle to you opening with the qualities of forgiveness and compassion. This isn't about being perfect and not stumbling and not having judgmental feelings or, you know, yelling at a spouse. You know, life happens. What this is about is learning that when we do, we have tools and opportunities to reconnect with ourselves through the practice of forgiveness and compassion and taking responsibility. So I don't need to be perfect. I just need to learn how to reconnect with myself on a moment-by-moment basis.
Oh, thank you. That was
so
beautiful.
We don't want to put more pressure on anyone, right? This is not about needing to be perfect.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for your time, Suzi. Again, Suzi Lula, the author of The Motherhood Evolution, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children. SuziLula.com is her website. And thank you so much for watching, listening, connecting with us today. If you found this inspiring, uplifting, beneficial in any way, I encourage you to share it, because this is how we change the world, is one connection at a time and reaching out to the people that we care about. And I want to send you lots of love. Thank you so much to Suzi Lula as well. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
Debuting this August 20th, To Hack the Ether, Maidens of the Matrix, a performance art piece designed to generate awareness of the psychological effects of popular female character archetypes in entertainment media on our collective unconscious. Join us for drinks on August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Aviary Design Space, 637 East 15th, to witness this durational performance art piece. The latest work of Mickey Aurora, featuring fashion designer Alex S.U., whose designs will be featured on the performers. Admission is free and open to the public.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank, or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook, or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
The University Neighborhoods Association will be hosting its 10th annual Barn Raising Festival at the Old Barn Community Center on August 20th. We are inviting everyone to the celebration from 1 to 4 p.m. and you don't want to miss out on the best 10th birthday party of the year. All the Barn's friends will be in attendance, so come say hi to the UBC Farm, the Bike Kitchen, Triumph House, and many more partners. The celebration this year will feature a free barbecue, live musical performances, free demo classes, tons of activities, and a live broadcast by CITR.
This August 24th at the Emerald Cabaret, Ora Kogan, touring in support of her latest album, Shadowland, an exploration of psychedelic Americana. Joining Kogan is Malcolm Jack, flirting with art rock and free jazz. Tickets are $10, doors at 8, show at 9. Presented by Hidden City Records, sponsored by CITR and Discorder Magazine.
Join us every other